Lord, and there's no snow on the ground. I'll keep praying if you give me a special offer. No, I'm just... It is so good to be in the house of God. It's so good to have been delivered from the powers of darkness and be translated into His marvelous light. Praise God. It never grows old to me to know where I came from. You can be seated if you'd like. Are there any first-time visitors here today? Good. Oh, there's one. Praise God in the back. Four. Praise God. Let's give them a hand. The title of my message is Freedom from Religion. We're not going to get into that right at the moment, but we can assure you we don't believe in organized religion. Just come to a couple services and you'll see each time we meet together, the presence of God will respond in a different way depending on who's in the house. So if you're coming next Sunday, you may see a subdued, quiet service. You might come on a Wednesday and receive teaching, but nevertheless, we'd like to honor our first-time guests. I want to let you know that for the last couple months, God has been stirring my heart like He has never done before. There's something in the air, and I'm so glad that all of the political arena now is shut down, and I can feel God is really wanting to take this church to another level. All that nonsense is behind us. Now we're entering into a dimension, I believe, is going to be a dimension that we read about in the Bible. In the last days, God has promised us to do great and wonderful things. Praise God. I've been here at Calvary Gospel Church for about 35 years, and last 21 years or so, I've been one of the associate pastors. Love every minute of it. I love my job. I love my pastor, my bishop. The staff is amazing, amazing staff. So we're just glad to be here this morning. We have some special visitors from Waterford, Wisconsin. My sister and her husband. My sister, who was very disobedient when she was a child. And then my... I better not go. Well, I might as well go there. No. I love my sister. I've got so many good stories, though. She'll probably never come back if I do it. And Uncle Mick taught me something very valuable down in Florida. It's called the Florida Shuffle. And I've been working on that. Now I find out that I'm starting to do it without even practicing. It's just becoming part of my nature. Praise God. In January, Pastor Roy led this church on a 21-day Daniel fast. Those of you that went through the Daniel fast and saw the results of what God is intending to do here at Calvary Gospel Church, we experienced some things that in 35 years I have actually never witnessed or seen before. And it wasn't just one or two people. We had a lot of folks were delivered from various things, and God has healed a good many of you of different things. So I'm excited because in January the pastor's going to lead us into another 21-day fast. And as much as I hate vegetables and all that stuff for 21 days, there's something about when you make a sacrifice to God. There's just something about the Holy Spirit will take you to another level if you're willing to put something, what they say in the world, skin in the game. You know, and He definitely did that for us. You know, I think every one of us here was born into a particular religion or denomination, if you will. And I know myself, I was born into a Protestant home. My mom and dad went to a Protestant church, which I went to for a good number of years until I was 14. To be honest with you, I didn't really get much out of it. They told me when I was sprinkled, I think at age 11 or 12, that I was baptized. And then they told me when I received that, that I was received the Holy Ghost, which was all good and fine, which it never did anything for me. I never felt any transformation. Praise God. So everyone here has their own set of beliefs. And I was studying for this message. What is religion? If you look up religion, you'll find about 4,000 websites that have various definitions on religion. Patrick McNair said, try to define religion and invite an argument, because everybody has their own set of religion, their beliefs, the things that they believe in. George Bernard Shaw said, there's only one religion, although there are hundreds of versions of it. I like that one. Religion is the price we pay for being intelligent, but not as yet intelligent enough. Praise God. Religion has been said to be what we believe in and get prepared. One of these days, everybody's going from the natural to the supernatural. Everybody amen that? Is that a spiritual truth? Is that a truth? You know anybody that was alive 150 years ago? So what are we here? What do we come to church for? We come to church to hear the word of God, and we come to church to allow the Spirit of God to work within us. I'm convinced that the world doesn't need any more religion. In fact, I think what they really need is freedom from religion. They need to forget the things that they may have been brought up with. And for a moment, I would really appreciate if you could just kind of park your religion down by your feet, the things that may have been brought up with. I'm not telling you have to, you can pick them up and take them with you if you'd like, but the bottom line is, I want to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And if for some reason your religion doesn't give you everything you need to make it, how tragic it would be to step into eternity and not be saved. Amen. A lot of sad faces here this morning. I'm happy because I know where I'm going. I know what I've experienced. But somebody has to be wrong. Everybody can't be right. Praise God. Before you leave here today, I'm believing and trusting God that your life is going to be changed forever. I wouldn't be standing up here unless I believed that. So I want you to just pray with me right now. And would you ask God to send his Holy Spirit as a rushing mighty wind and have him fill this whole house where we're sitting? Would you do that? That everybody in here would receive everything that God would have for them in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have come to you, Lord, collectively as a body. And we believe, Lord, that you're able to do above and beyond that which we ask or think. We're trusting, God, that there are people here today with broken hearts that can be mended. We're trusting, oh God, there are people here that are laden down with sins. And you have promised us, Lord, that you'd be with us always, even to the ends of this earth. Lord God, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would move in this place in a mighty, mighty way. Praise God. Some of you have come here today with chains on your spirit. You've been bound for a good number of years. These chains can be broken and shattered. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's a species that never before existed. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Do you have any old things that have passed away since you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost? I have a lot of things that have passed away. They no longer have me bound. God is in the transforming business. He takes you from darkness to light. Praise God. He had to drag me into the light because I thought and I was convinced that I was right. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, in this world that we live in, we have to constantly renew our mind because there is such a pressure and a force from the media, from other sources to influence our thinking, to program us into thinking certain things are true when they're not true, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable thing of God. Praise God. Romans 12 and 2, praise the Lord. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove. You know, I like proof. You like proof? I don't want suppositions. I don't want just a wonder about things. I want proof. I want God to prove to me that He is the Almighty God. I want God to prove to me that He's a healer. I want God to prove to me that He can take care of every one of my need according to His riches and glory. Once I understand that, once I start living that, all the pressures that are on me leave because I am trusting and believing in the God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. How cool is that? You don't have to make these decisions. You don't have to fear about doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs and all the things that come against us. Praise God. We have a God, and He has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord can be our strength. The Bible tells us that we can have peace that passeth all understanding. Dear Lord, this world needs peace. This world needs to be renewed to understand that God is still in control. You might not be in control. You might have fears. You might have doubts. But God knows exactly what He wants to do with the rest of your life. Praise God. When I was baptized into the precious name of Jesus Christ and God filled me with His Spirit, my soul was transformed. I became a new person. My sister can tell you that. She came down to Madison a couple months after I was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. She wanted to see if this was really her brother, the black sheep of the family, the one who had gotten into so many problems. And lo and behold, I think on her first or second visit, guess who was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost? You cannot get around this for any length of time and not be infected. It's a good infection. It's not something that you want to, it might seem strange. You come in here and you hear the worship and the sounds and the noise. And, you know, you may be raised in a religion that, very quiet, and we want to sing Psalm 247. It's up on the board. That's the reason I left my religion. I wanted something that had life, and I found Jesus Christ, and He not only gave me life, but He gave it to me more abundantly. If you're not living the abundant life today, my friend, you're missing out on some of the greatest blessings in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. When I was in the seventh grade, I just read this in my late mother's scrapbook she made for all of her children. She saved every piece of paper, every note, every positive thing that ever happened to us since we were 1 year old or whatever. My scrapbook was pretty small. I don't know why. She probably lost a lot of stuff. But but anyway, I look in there and there's a essay that I wrote in seventh grade. And I couldn't believe it because in that essay, the question that Mr. Carlson, my seventh grade teacher, asked was, if you could have anything in the world, what would you ask for? And that, for some reason, I never hesitated. I said, if I could know that there's a God, if I could know there was a God, then I'd know how to lead the rest of my life. He read that, and he got me, and he said, wow. And it was just one of those things. And, you know, it was a good number of years later that I was given the opportunity, and God showed me. It's one thing to say, I believe in God. It's another thing to feel the presence of God in your spirit, in the innermost beings of your heart. And when you begin to speak forth in that other language, it reassures you that you're not alone. You're with the Almighty God. This is His plan. This is His time. Praise God. So how do you know all this? Because I've experienced it. Woo-hoo. I have been there and done that, as they say. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift up our voices unto God one more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. It was almost 26 years later that God gave me the answer to my question. Boy, I had to go through a lot to get to the point where I believed there was a God. Anybody relate to that? I went to the highways and the byways and had... my life was a mess. I had just lost everything, my business, my wife, my family. And then I came back to Madison, Wisconsin to find out that my health was failing. And I don't know exactly what I had, but talked to my very intelligent sister, who's a nurse, told me that they said it could be spinal meningitis or leukemia. And I think, whoa, what does that mean? She says, When people start, you ask a question about your health, and they say, we'll get back to you on that one. You better listen up. And that's where I was at. So something happened at that point. I think, what? I'm really excited about living for God now, because right before I got very, very sick, I had a dream. The dream was a verbal dream, and I've told this 1,000 times, but for those of you that may not have heard it, it was just, there is a God. End of story. That's all he said, but it was at least that loud with this type of magnification. And I stood up on my bed and I, wow, here's the question I'd asked 26 years ago. I never connected the dots on this, but you know what? God is faithful. Praise God. If you're looking for proof today, I want you to know, hallelujah, I don't think I really believe there was a God. I didn't believe there wasn't a God, but I had never known God, so how was I ever going to really know that there was a God? But through all these series of crazy events, praise God, when I got out of that hospital after Pastor John Grant came up and prayed with me, I had no idea that God had healed me right there on the spot. I had no idea. All my symptoms left, and I just thought it was nice that he came up. I went to church just to see and be kind enough to receive, let him know that I appreciate him coming up. My goodness, when I got here, I thought, oh my word, these people are crazy. They're jumping, they're shouting, they're waving their hands. We had one guy run right past the pulpit, did a little handstand, I know what they call it, cartwheel. Boom, boom, boom. Wow. I had no idea what was going on. I said, Peggy, I said, let's get out of here. These people are crazy. She says, don't talk to me about crazy. I know what crazy is. I've seen you at a football game. Case closed. Something drew us back. And the second time I came here, it was actually in Milwaukee Street, I had never felt the presence of God like that. All I knew is that there was a God, and I needed that God, desperately needed that God. I didn't know anything. Nobody gave me a Bible study. Nobody told me I had to repent. I just ran to the altar, and I poured out my heart for over an hour. Things that I had forgotten about, I was repenting about. Things that I, years and years ago, some of the experiences in Vietnam, and all that stuff that was still there, I just felt it lifting, and as I repented and this godly sorrow come on me, I just couldn't get up. My head and heart were so heavy, praise God. It was a wonderful, wonderful feeling, praise God. Although I didn't understand it, they said, stand up. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. If they'd have told me to run up on the top of the building and jump off, I'd have said, okay, let's go, give me a ladder. But I lifted up my hands and someone laid hands on me, and I began to speak forth in another language that I had never spoken before. Did I know what it was? No, but it was the best feeling I'd ever had in my life. Praise God. I felt like I'd been standing in front of a firing squad. In that firing squad, I knew I was guilty. I was supposed to be there. It was not a matter of, I had done a lot of things that I could have been executed or should have been executed. And I'm standing there by this wall, and they say, ready, aim. And all of a sudden, Jesus breaks into the scene. All of a sudden, he says, no, wait. Wait, I've died for him. I've died for him. I'm not looking at what he's done. I'm not looking at his past. I'm looking at his future. Praise God for a God who's able to see us not like we are, what he expects us to be someday. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For the first time in my life, I felt freedom from religion. I found the power behind religion. The Spirit of God desperately wants to transform everybody in this room this morning. Praise God. The reason some people don't want to believe it, because they have their own religion. They've already made up their mind how God operates and what they feel God will or will not do, not based upon this book, but it's based upon a human logic. And let me tell you something, friend. You do not want to stand in front of God with the wrong religion. You don't want to stand there and try to give an account for your life or what your perception of goodness and righteousness is, or what you claim that you have not done. God is dealing with your whole life, body, soul, mind, and spirit. And every sin that you've ever committed, every time you use God's name in vain, every time you've done or said something that's against the word of God, it's all sitting there waiting until you actually repent of your sins. That is, you ask God. See, unless you can understand that you're a sinner in need of the grace of God, chances of you ever making heaven your home is zero. Why would you? You've got everything figured out, right? I mean, you've already made this religion in your mind, and you've decided, hey, I'm okay. I talk to so many people. It breaks my heart. Just a couple months ago, I was in UW Hospital with Noah's cousin and prayed with her. She's dying of leukemia, and we prayed, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She was excited about that, and I said, now we need to get baptized. Well, I don't know about that. It would be difficult, and I've got these tubes. I said, well, let's figure a way. Let's find a way to get this, because every sin that you ever committed from the day you're old enough to be accountable is hanging out. And you don't want to go, if you, God forbid, that you should pass away, go into eternity lost. Well, she did not respond to my testimony or my overtures, if you will. About 4 days before she passed away, I was up at the VA hospital, and God instructed me to go see her again and plead with her. So I went up there, and this is 4 days before she died, right? So I go in there, and she's a sweet girl, had a lot of issues, cocaine addiction, drug addictions, whatever. But I'm standing there, her eyes are about this wide. She looked like a deer caught in the headlights. I think she felt and she knew that she was getting close. And I asked her, I said, please, please, please. I said, you know, we don't know how long you have. If God doesn't heal you, we need to get this done. If I got to get you out of the hospital somehow, we need to get this done. You don't want to go into eternity like this. She said, you know, I think you're right. When I get out of the hospital, she never did get out of the hospital. She goes into eternity just this far away from receiving eternal salvation. Praise God. Another lady that I met recently, sweet, sweet little old lady from in a nursing home. There was no, I'm in her teaching in her second Bible study, she says. I really like this. I said, would you like to receive the Holy Ghost? And she said, what's that? I said, this is what it is. So all you have to do is repent. Okay. Got one eye missing. We began to pray. Believe it or not, here she gets the Holy Ghost. And she says, I want to get baptized. I want to get baptized. What's the difference? The difference is the condition of your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we have been purchased our salvation. Sometimes we get this idea that we can pick and choose things that feel good to us. If we think, you know, I like this part, but I'm not really excited about this part. We need to come to a place where we understand that we don't make the rules, we just obey them. And we need to understand that God is still in control. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, and this is frightening to me, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. And could it be that your religion or the values that you put together to justify your religion are wrong? Is it possible? If you even have any doubt at all, you need to get it right today before you leave. Praise God. You can come out of this today. You don't have to wait 12 weeks. You can get it today. When I was preparing for this message, God drew me back to the cross, drew me back to Calvary. And I have to tell you, it's been a while since I've been there. And as I began to consider it and try to re-understand the cross and what actually happened there, you know, you see these little statues. There's Jesus hanging on the cross, just a little trickle of blood coming from his hands. It wasn't like that at all. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. If we could just eliminate a lot of the fluff that's in this world, a lot of the religious in the world, we need to go to the cross of Jesus Christ and look up to see what's really happened on that cross. And as I looked up once again at that beaten body, I saw something that I have seen many times before, but somehow it penetrated me more than it ever has. There was that body that had been beaten with 39 lashes, 9 cords of leather hanging down with pieces of sharp bone and metal. And every time that whip hit his back, it cut chunks of flesh off of it. Blood spurted out. Tendons were exposed. 39 times he was beaten, hallelujah, with a cat of nine tails. And I take it for granted. Blood was pouring out. They made him carry his own cross to his own execution. And when he got finally to the place of his execution, they put him on that cross, laid him straight down. They took out these huge spikes, and they took him and they pounded him, tearing through bone, through tendons and flesh and vessels and blood squirts out. I could see it in my Holy Ghost spirit. And then they take the other hand and the same thing. It's brutal. It's horrible. But that's the price that was paid for our salvation. Don't take it lightly. And then they took his feet. They took his feet and put them together. And they smashed again as they broke through the tendons and the bones and the flesh. Listen, this was gory. This is horrible. Then they put a crown of thorns on him. And they didn't just put it lightly on him. They put it and they pushed it into his forehead. His face was totally out of proportion. He was all puffed up. The Bible tells us that, I think it's in Isaiah 52:14. Praise God. They had beaten him with their fists. They had pulled on his beard. They gnashed at him. They bit hunks of flesh out of his body. Isaiah 52:14, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond any that any man of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Can you start to see why you don't want to take this lightly? He gave it all. What's he really asking for you? What is he? He wants you to give up self. He wants you to give up self-determination. He proved his love. He proved that he was willing to die for you. And I have to tell you, there's times when I'm just ashamed of myself because I don't have the desire that I need. And listen, when we walk into a room of people who are not saved, our hearts should be broken. Our thoughts should be upon those people. We should be silently praying for them. We should understand that we are standing in the gap between heaven and hell, and they need our prayers. Who knows what God's going to do when you begin to pray for people and intercede for them? Listen to what Isaiah said in 53:3. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs. Griefs there is sickness, disease. He carried our sorrows. He wants to heal your broken heart. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. You should say, he was wounded for my transgressions. My transgression, not his. He didn't sin one time. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. Are you kidding me? That's the greatest love story ever. And we have to remember how we got here. What happened? How did God transform me from darkness to light? Could I ever, ever repay him? No. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isaiah 53:6, we are all like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And we see this today with 250 different religions just in the Christian norm. Across the world, there are millions and millions of religions. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who's above all, through all, and in you all. Case settled. God is wanting to do something here today. Hallelujah. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. This is where my heart is. I have to look back at that cross. So many folks take their salvation. You know, I do a lot of funerals, and everybody wants to say, well, they're in a better place now. Well, I can't. I'll never tell anybody they're in a better place unless I know they're in a better place. So I can only talk about how nice they were, how good they were, what a kind mother, father, whatever. But listen, if you believe that all you have to do is just allow Jesus Christ to come in as your personal Savior, you're not going to a better place. You need to repent. Godly sorrow needs to grip your heart. It will lead you to a place of salvation. But you know what keeps most people from receiving this is pride. Pride. They feel it inside, but they don't have the pride to let a tear slip down their face. But I'm believing today God's going to touch somebody in here. Praise God. Some people spend more time planning their vacation than where they're going to spend eternity. What hotels they're going to be in. Listen, and I've talked to people who said, you know, I've got my own religion. That's good, I said, but you better make sure that the religion that you have lines up with the religion that's in this book. And this book tells me that the only way you're going to get into heaven is repent of your sins, be baptized and filled with his Holy Spirit. Praise God. Is this too tough? Is this? You know, to receive what I'm talking about, you have to be broken. Literally. Brother Usman preached a message. I didn't preach. He said this in the Freedom from Religion Foundation. The lady that was up there. Unless you're hungry, you can't receive this. Unless you're hungry, you cannot receive it. Why is it so many people come to God when they're broken? They went through a divorce. They went through a sickness. Mom died. Dad died. Something happened in their life. They lost their job. It breaks into their little world just enough that God can get a foothold into this. There's a few things that we have to do to be able to receive this. In Hebrews 11:6, sounds kind of silly, but this, that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. So what does that mean? You have to believe there's a God. You have to believe that there's a God of order. You have to believe that God has a specific plan for salvation. He wouldn't leave it to our own thought process. Well, I think I'm saved because. Oh, no, no. You have to follow the book. You have to get into the book. You need to study the book. You need to memorize those scriptures. You need to make sure that everything that you believe in to make up your religion is in this book, consistently in this book. Oh, my. Secondly, we must believe that the Bible is the sole source of truth. I know this sounds pretty basic to a lot of you old-time Pentecostals, but if you cannot convince somebody that there's no other book, there's no other source of truth, they can get out of the box that you tried to put them in with the Bible, and guess what? They will not be able to believe this because they'll say, well, this book was written by men, and, you know, I don't believe that part, or I don't believe this part. Pastor Grant had met with a denominational pastor and Brother Grant asked him some questions. He said, what about baptism? What about actually? He said, oh, we don't believe that part of it. He said, what do you mean? He said, no, we only believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we don't go to the book of Acts as we don't believe it. Well, whether you believe it or not, you'll still be held accountable. If I go 75 miles an hour and it's a zone for blind children and the cop pulls me over, guess what? He's not going to care whether I didn't see this. I didn't know this. So what? It's written. It's already done. Praise God. Okay. We must believe that God's word is forever settled in heaven. I say forever settled in heaven. Not one word can be added to this book, and not one word can be subtracted to this book. You can't just go ahead and add a little verse here and there to make your religion more palatable to you. It demands sacrifice. It demands commitment. It demands separation. That's not me speaking. This is not Calvary Gospel Church. This is what's in the book. And if you want to figure out why, go back to Calvary and look up at the cross and see what actually happened to him. And why did he do it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Listen, the only reason we can do what we do is because of his sacrifice, his blood. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there's no remission or there's no removal of sin. You can't add anything to this book. You can't take anything away. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we try to take one thing out, and try to add one thing, every curse in the book will be upon our head. Oh my. We must obey the gospel. The gospel is the death. That is, we turn to God in true godly sorrow. We repent. And after someone dies, you have to bury him, right? So we are buried with Jesus Christ in baptism. And then we go into his resurrection, receiving the Holy Ghost. Romans 6 and 3 says it this way, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in newness of life. For if we are planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. My old Richard Thomas nature has been crucified. I am a new person. I tried to stop drinking for years and I couldn't do it. I tried to stop doing the things that I was doing in the world and I kept coming back to them, for I had no power inside of me to withstand the forces of evil. Praise God. But once you receive this experience, it's not, you're not only ready for heaven, you're ready for the most wonderful time of your life right here on earth. What better feeling? I'm 75 years old and I'm loving every second of this. I'm loving it when I can find somebody that's hungry enough to allow me to talk to them. Because if I can somehow persuade them that this is the way that you need to go, I didn't come to offend anybody. I came to seek and save that which is lost. Would you glorify God for just a moment? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I remember years ago, there was a Diane Bakken's father, Hector Bakken, a.k.a. better known as the Gentle Giant. He was a splendid man. He had hands the size of a football mitt. He's about 6 foot. Everybody looked 6 foot seven to me, but he must have been 6 foot seven. Now, he had a religious background, and he came here because he loved what he felt. He really, really liked to come to our church, and Diane and Tom and the family prayed for him for a long, long time. He was a little bit stubborn. I don't know if that runs in the Norwegians or what, but my wife, she's not. Oh, she is here. Sorry. But he was stubborn. So there was a man that came to our church. It is an evangelist. His name was Mervyn Miller. He was a little Scotchman, delightful guy. And Hector just loved him when he preached. Top of the morning to you, and the rest of the day to you, sir. He was just a really neat guy. Well, Hector came to me one day at it was called Summer Fun Fest, I think, at the time. And he said, Richard, I've got a question for you. He says, I had this really weird dream last night. I said, what was that, Hector? He says, well, he said, I was walking up this staircase, and I knew in my heart I was being led into heaven. I could see clouds, and the staircase was beautiful. It was just amazing. But the problem is, each step I took, the stairs got hotter and hotter. And before I knew it, my feet were burning. And I started to scream, and all of a sudden, Mervyn Miller comes up. He said, Hector, you're on the wrong stairs. And he led me down that stair flight, and he led me up to a stairs that looked just like that one. But it was beautiful. There was peace. There was joy. And then I woke up. He said, what do you think that means? I had to put a piece of duct tape on my mouth. I said, you need to call your daughter. But you know, Hector was rebaptized in Jesus' name. And several months later, a brother from the church was driving by in his neighborhood. He said, go pray with Hector Bach, and he is ready to receive the Holy Ghost. This man didn't even know Hector, and he walked into his front porch, which he always said, Hector, come on in. He said, wanted to come to pray with you. God told me that you wanted to receive the Holy Ghost today. He says, okay. Cool. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was there? So they prayed, received the Holy Ghost, got back in his car and left. That's true. Praise God. Well, I can tell you this, that anybody that's received this, see, Hector was delivered from religion. Not that it was bad, but see, if your religion doesn't have all the truth, does it make any difference? I think it makes a big difference. He was baptized, but he wasn't baptized properly. He was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and in the Holy Ghost. But you know, as you look through the Bible, it's not in the book. It's not the way they baptize in the book of Acts. Jesus told us, the new birth experience in John 3:5, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, water being baptism, spirit being the Holy Ghost, that which is born, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that was born of the spirit is spirit. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus let us know that one of the signs of the believer was baptized. Mark 16:15, it said, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He that believes what? Believes the gospel, and is baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not what? Believeth not the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, shall be damned. And then these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Anybody spoken in new tongues in this building today? Praise God. I did this morning. 1 Peter 3:21, Paul affirms this baptism. He said, the like figure on even baptism doth now also save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never heard what you need to do to be saved, just turn to the book of Acts, 2nd chapter, 37th verse. This is such a familiar passage of Scripture to most of us. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the brethren, men and brethren, what shall we do? I hope there's someone here today that says, what do I have to do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, that is, turn away from your sin, ask God to forgive you, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, the removal of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Anybody here ever received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Oh, how beautiful is that? You know, God is so gracious and so wonderful. I've been had the privilege of experiencing a lot of conversions over the years, but there's one conversion that is forever etched in my mind, and I'll never forget it. There was a 75-year-old lady who was dying of cancer. She agreed to allow me to come and pray with her. And I asked her, I said, could I bring Felix Crowder with me? She said, yeah, that's fine. I remember she had her own religion for 75 years. For the last 13 years, I've tried to give her more truth, and she did not want it. Oh, my. I found Brother Crowder in Appleton for a revival meeting. I drove up, and I picked him up, came back. And it was just amazing because when we walked in that back door, you got to walk up some steps, and it was almost like the throne of God was set up in that house. There was such a powerful, powerful presence of God. I'll never forget it. And as we begin to pray for her healing, would you believe God healed her one deaf ear? But then she began speaking in other tongues. She began to speak in other tongues as God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Now, we were so excited, we wanted to take her right over to church and get her baptized, rebaptized. She said, no, I want to be baptized right now in my own bathtub. She didn't want to wait. Well, we did. We baptized her, and the next day I went over. Check on her, and I said, Mom, how do you feel? She said she felt great peace, great joy. Something really strange happened, son, when Felix placed his hand on my forehead. I looked up, and I saw the face of Jesus Christ. Felix's face wasn't there. All I could see was Jesus, and I knew it was Jesus. Can you believe? I began to weep. And thank God, several weeks later, my mother, Iona Rhea Thomas, went into her eternal destination. She finally had freedom from religion. Would you lift up your hands and worship God as the musicians come? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know if you could have any more joy than praying with someone that you love as desperately as I love my mother, and see her be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let's continue to worship Him. God wants to do something here this morning. There are some folks here that need to sweep aside your present belief, if you will. You know, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, why don't you take a Bible study and figure out whether this is truth or not? I mean, the Bible says we're going to live 70, and then by reason of strength, we might live another 10 years, which would be 80. Someday, every one of us will stand in front of God. Why not come to God with all the information? If you decide this is not for you, so what have you got to lose? Praise God. Let's lift up our hands and begin to worship God. I believe the Holy Ghost is moving, talking to people right now. Thank you, Jesus. Who's ready to begin the first day of the rest of their life? Who's willing to say, you know what? I'm feeling something today that maybe I've never felt before. Would you be willing to come forward here and allow us to pray with you? I believe that there are some hungry, hungry souls in this place. I believe God wants to do something special. Hallelujah. Not my will, O God, but thine be done. Would you come? Some of you need a refilling of God's Spirit. Others need the first time experience. Why tarriest thou? Come and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. That's right. Come on down. We're not going to bite. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good, so wonderful.
There is power, it's in the name.
around and see if you see somebody that